program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. On the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, would you share some helpful information with us tonight?
Well, thank you. I just did with someone I'm very close to. I want you to hear this conversation, though. Basically, I was saying, how did it go with your son? And it's a grown son. And I knew there was some tension. There was some, and typically not like what I know that the mother and son have had, but she in particular said that it was pretty tough. And I said, well, help me understand. Well, you know, he's on, I know he's for years been on drugs. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. He has an IQ of 185, which is extraordinarily high, but he barely made it through high school. Why? Well, he was on marijuana, and I remember him telling me, well, it's not addictive, but then to try to get off of it was very next to impossible, and yet, so he and I have a great relationship, and we've talked about things like this, but then he says to his mother, judge not, lest ye be judged. And so she said, you know, just try to think. And she was going back and forth. And so I said, well, I tried to let her finish. I wanted to pop in right then. But I said, let me explain the context of what you've just mentioned. Matthew, it's in Matthew 7. It's just the first five verses. Now, I'm going to ask you to listen carefully. Five verses, who is being referred to? Who is Jesus speaking to? Okay? Who is the audience for Jesus that he wants to hear this particular message? This is Matthew 7, meaning chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So who is he speaking to? Very specifically, verse 5, you hypocrite. He's addressing the hypocrites. And what does he say? Now think about it. If you're an ophthalmologist, you're an eye doctor, and someone comes to you and says, man, yeah, something going on in my eye. I can't figure out what to do. Or do you say, well, wait a minute. If you're an ophthalmologist, look, don't judge. Don't judge. No, you're in a position to help somebody else who may not see that they don't know what's going on in their own eye. They may not understand it. The concept here is, you don't have a judgmental spirit, meaning do not have a judgmental spirit. Because that's like you're walking, and I use the term telephone pole. Imagine you having a telephone pole out of your right eye. And he's saying, look, if you've got that telephone pole in your right eye, look, don't judge someone else about whatever is going on in their eye. First, remove the telephone pole out of your eye. Notice verse 5. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So it's not that we can't be rightful, fair judges if somebody has... I had a splinter the other day, and I was so surprised, and I kept wondering, is it going to work its way out? But I had to get a needle and get it out. And it's tender when you do that. And you don't just attack the finger or the eye. If you've got something going on in your eye, you do it tenderly. It's one of the most sensitive parts of your body. So the point is, it's not that you can't judge to see if somebody has something wrong in their lives. That's what Jesus is saying. But make sure your life isn't filled with planks or telephone poles or even specks when you need to remove those first from your eye. Then you can come back. So do you see? It's not like you can't judge when somebody's off base. And whether it's a drug of any choice, or a gambling addiction, or a sexual addiction, or whatever other kind of addiction, or just anything that's off base. Maybe somebody's committing adultery. You don't put your brain on hold. God's given you a mind. Of course you need to use it. And you need to discern what is good, what is not good, and choose what is right in God's sight.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at LifelineToHope.org. That's LifelineToHope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We're here because of your ongoing prayers and support, and we do thank you. If you have questions or concerns about something going on in your life, you can call our care center at 800-488-HOPE. They can help you access our resources, the same ones June counsels from as she helps each caller. Now, the number again is 800-488-4673, or you may email customercare@hopefortheheart.org. That's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Send your questions regarding tonight's topics and resources that were discussed in the program. Now let's welcome our caller.
Well, we do welcome you, Mike. So glad you're joining us. How can we help you?
Hi, June. How are you you doing? I'm a long-time listener.
Good. Well, thank you. I'm delighted that we're talking, Ben.
And I just wanted to say, and last summer I went to with the doctor, and they gave me a blood test, and the doctor said my PSA levels were a little high. It's supposed to be 4 or under, and mine is 5.7.
And, so you're talking about. You're talking about the area of the prostate, right? You're talking about the prostate area? Sorry, can't hear you. Sorry.
I said I went for an MRI.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
And
MRI.
And the MRI was basically good. They said the one area that they wanted to check for cancer, and they wanted to do a biopsy, and I've been struggling ever since because I'm scared that I'm getting a biopsy. I do have faith in the Lord to help me and to heal me, and I just cry every day. I also have a problem with alcohol. Which I was getting better with.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting better with, but lately I've been feeling hopeless, and I just didn't care anymore, and I turned back to drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really struggling. I pray every day. I pray when I go to bed. I pray in the morning when I get up. I'm feeling nervous and anxious, and I don't know what to do, and that's why I called you.
Well, I'm so glad you've called. I know what it's like to have a diagnosis that I didn't expect, and it was kind of stunning because I never thought I would have cancer, breast cancer, and I just went in. I had a lump, but that wasn't anything unusual. So then the doctor kept coming back and forth and back and forth, and finally she said, "June, you do have a malignancy. You will have to have a mastectomy, and you will lose your hair." And I remember thinking, "What does the hair have to do with this?" And yet I sat there and listened, and I just thought, well, I don't have family history of this that I thought of, not at least from my mom's side. I didn't think about my dad's side. And there was significant history there. But, you know, let me tell you exactly what happened. When this doctor said this, the first thing, there are two almost like two firsts. I had these battling thoughts. I thought, oh, okay, I'm surprised, but God already knows my last day. In fact, the Bible even says, all the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. So God already knows, my friend, he knows your last day. He knows my last day. All the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. So I remember thinking, oh, so I don't know if my time is short or long. And then I thought, but I do want to make the most of whatever time I have. By the way, the date of this was right after 9/11 in 2001. So I obviously have a longer trajectory for my life. But you said that you do trust God, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that is so huge, because do you think God makes mistakes?
No.
I don't either. Do you think God knew about this higher count of the PSA level? Did he know about that? Does he know everything?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, he says, I know the plans I have for you. So, Mike, just think about this. This is Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So, whatever, until that last day, and by the way, that scripture, for those who want to know what it is, it's Psalm 139:16. Psalm 139:16. All the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. So for him to say, I know the plans I have for you, and I'm giving the reference, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So he's got a hope-filled future for you, regardless of what your diagnosis is. Meaning, I think I heard you say that you're scared of a biopsy. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Very scared.
Okay. Let's just talk real life living. Now, I'm logical. My mind works like math. I love math. I've got a math kind of formula mindset. And the concept is this. Why do people even get biopsies? It's not just so you can know something. It's so that if there is something that needs to be removed, you can act on it immediately or quite soon. Because think about it logically. We know that in terms of longevity of our lives, one out of one people die. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So, by and large, unless something extraordinary takes place, such as the second coming of Christ, we're going to die of something. And God knows what that something is for all of us whom he created. But there is something here that if it's something problematic to you, you don't want to let it keep growing inside you. And so I had something. I had a biopsy. And by the way, I went on and chose to do a double mastectomy because I didn't, you know, it was just, I didn't want to, well, I found out I had actually cancer on both sides and two different kinds. If I hadn't gone in and they checked me on the one, they went, oh, by the way, and I was in the airport getting ready to fly to the Northeast because I was asked to speak. This is 5 weeks after 9/11 and what was going on there. And you're from New York, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what it was like. Were you around New York during 9/11? New York City?
Yes, I've been in New York my whole life.
Okay, so you know the trauma that was going on in New York City, don't you? You know better than most people. Most people would not have near the comprehension. To have the Twin Towers, the jihadist terrorists, they flew into the Twin Towers They also flew into the Pentagon, a plane, mm-hmm. and there was one that was downed by heroic individuals, and it was to be headed for the White House. But the point is, the country was in trauma at that time, wasn't it?
Yes, especially New York City.
That's right. And so I was asked to come and be a part of a team. They had a lot of people helpers that were saying, we need help. We don't know how to help the people. Many of them had experienced, seen people in the Twin Towers fall to their deaths. And I talked with some of them. I had callers calling me about this. And the thing is, what I'm saying is, I thought, I don't have time to have surgery right now. I have got to get on that plane. I've got to go. And I thought, you know, I'm alive to help. And they asked me to speak on trauma and crisis counseling. And I did. And I didn't tell anybody what, I didn't tell the people there that I'd just been diagnosed. Because at that point, I had a mission to accomplish. And I was so grateful that I could do something. And you know, what I've learned is there are times when we have something that's been painful in our lives. And it could be in childhood. It could be in our youth days. But it's impacted us for years. And yet, we have more compassion. Just like right now, I think you have probably more compassion than most people who have a question mark about prostate cancer, possibly. Or you have more compassion probably for those who have a drug condition. Because I can tell you don't want to have it. You said, I've turned back to drinking. And you said, I cry every day. Well, you know, you are here on this program by God's design. And I'm just going to ask our listeners to pray for you, Mike, because as we talk, we're going to see what God's going to do to equip you to go on and get that biopsy.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller in just a moment. Our care teams are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. If you'd like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Now, when you call, follow the prompts and leave a detailed message, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible and get you scheduled for the next available Hope in the Night. That number again, 800-644-4817. Now, let's get back to tonight's caller.
Okay, my friend Mike, I want you to know right now there are hundreds or thousands of people praying for you, and they're going to pray for you to literally have the strength. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you believe the Bible is true?
Yes.
Okay. So you, what you do is you look at that scripture. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So if I'm supposed to get a biopsy to determine what I need to do, because that's just a step, then you need to say, I need to do that. And I don't need to be afraid of the biopsy. I just want to be the maximum that I can be for as long as I can be. Now, tell me, what scares you the most about the biopsy?
The doctor told me it's a needle, and I'm scared that my whole life I've been scared that they're needles. It goes up your rear,
mm-hmm.
And they said I'd be asleep, but that's what scares me.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole life I've been scared that they're needles. You know, even okay. I remember when I was a kid, I wouldn't even get a blood test. Because mm-hmm. I was scared of the needles. I've gotten a little better. I mean, I get blood tests. I mean, I have had needles. I have dentures, and when I had my teeth
mm-hmm.
pulled, I had Novocaine, which is a needle in your
mm-hmm.
gums.
Yes.
And I wasn't scared for some reason. I don't know why. I just put my mind to it, and I got it because I wanted the dentures because my teeth were all rotted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, I just put my mind to it. And, I went to a doctor about a week and a half ago, and I ran out of the office crying.
Okay.
And I have a
question for you. Do you have a close friend, someone who's a good buddy, somebody, or someone that you can really count on to literally go with you?
I do have a girl, a woman.
Okay.
You know. But she's going through a lot of things herself, and
we talked today. Mm-hmm.
But you know,
the reason I ask is this: you know, there's a Bible verse that's wonderful. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In fact, there's so much said about those who come alongside us as friends. And I can tell you, when I had cancer, I had four friends. I didn't know anything about cancer, nothing. And so it was a whole new world. And I asked, there were four who went with me to a number of the first meetings because I didn't know how to choose an oncologist. And when we interviewed the fourth one, everybody was 100% about Dr. Joyce O'Shaughnessy. That was wonderful. But my point is to have somebody come alongside you.
But that's another thing. I really don't have anybody to go with. You know? But I do have my brother-in-law, and he said he would go with me to the biopsy. But I don't really have anybody. She can't go with me. First of all, she don't have a car.
Okay, I see. Okay, but you said
she's going through a lot of things right now. She can't, you know.
Well, that's what she said. I understand.
I don't know what's going on with her, but.
Yeah, I think the issue is when people are wanting to help, like did you say it was a brother-in-law? Is that right? Who volunteered?
Yeah.
Okay, take him up on it and just say, that would be very meaningful to me. And I would appreciate your perspective along the way. And because, do you know, this is interesting, Mike. The Bible says we are more blessed when we give than when we receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. It was Jesus who actually said those words. And so people actually receive a blessing by helping others. And our job, if they're helping us, is to say, I cannot tell you how meaningful it is for me that you're helping me, that you would go with me, because this is very hard for me to do. And you're just candid, and that makes them feel needed, and they are, and wanted, and they are. And so I say that because I think when we at times do not include others, we are robbing them of the blessing that they could have by helping us. So I want you to see that really, in fact, the four friends my four friends, they divvied up what they were going to do. It's almost like I was so surprised because I was used to basically trying to help others, and I didn't know how to even help myself on this. And yet God provided those individuals. And there may be someone along the way as you journey through this. Yes, your brother-in-law, you know, when you said, but I'm scared of needles. You know, one thing we need to always do is be very, very, very candid with our doctors. If a doctor is someone that you particularly know and periodically see, just tell them you have a history of being truly scared of needles. And sometimes what they can do is give you something that just, it's a topical thing, but it just numbs the pain of a needle. Now, some needles are so...
They said they put me to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. For this one, yeah. And so that's the good part about this one, that is a procedure. But the point is, if there's something that needs to be removed. Think of if you had a type of colon cancer, and all of a sudden, you know, you say, "Well, I've been like my dad." This is a true story. My dad was told, "You need to remove these polyps. You've got polyps in your colon," and his statement was, "All doctors want to do is cut on you." So he didn't have them removed. Guess what he died of? Colon cancer. Yeah, because he didn't act on it. He was advised. They told him that the polyps could become malignant. That's exactly what happened. But he kind of had his own mind, and yet he had thought he was going to live a whole lot longer, and yet he didn't do what was needed to remove those polyps that ended up becoming malignant. And so I care about you. I'm so glad that we're talking right now. You said you're a long-term listener, and I just want to do whatever we can strategize together. And you've already provided what seems to be the temporary solution. And that is, your brother-in-law said he would go with you. You will be put to sleep. So that is not unusual. But you need to find out what you're dealing with, because many times people have some kind of a malignancy, but then if they don't act on it, it will spread. And I don't think you want that, do you?
No. But in the MRI, when they said there might be a problem, my primary care doctor said there was no swelling, and she said that that's good, because usually if it's some type of malignancy, usually you have swelling. Usually, mm-hmm. She said. So I think that's a good sign, and mm-hmm. I think when you say God has a plan, I think He does have a plan for everybody. And I'm 52. I hope I don't die when I'm 54 or something.
Right.
I used to work and be very successful and make a lot of money. And I wanted to get back to work. You know.
Okay.
I wanted to get back to work and maybe find a special someone.
Yes.
To be my son, you know, to be in my life. If the Lord grants it. And, like I said, I just want to be around till mm-hmm. I'm 75 or 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can enjoy life a little bit.
Right.
So, I hope the Lord.
Okay, that's great. See, the whole key for you and me is when the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, it isn't just mental agreement that Jesus is the Savior. It's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means we give Him control of our lives. And He even says, your body is not your own. For we who are Christians, He said, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So the issue is, if indeed you have humbled your heart and really yielded your will to His will, He's already got it figured out. You don't even have to know all about what to do. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. So He's got it figured out.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at LifelineToHope.org. That's LifelineToHope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer.
Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. It's a ministry of hope for the heart, and we're here because of your ongoing prayers and continued support. If you have questions about something going on in your life, even about what salvation means, our care center is available to take your call at 800-488-HOPE. They can point you to the free downloads of our quick reference guides through the website hopefortheheart.org. The number again is 800-488-8673. Now back to our caller.
Well, my friend Mike, again, you've got so many people praying for you that you'll only see them in heaven. You won't see them here on earth because they're all over the United States and some in other countries. So that's a blessing. And they're going to be praying that you will have the strength for you to claim, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So it's really His strength inside you.
Okay. I was very close with my mom, very close with my mom, and she passed away 5 years ago.
Sorry.
And I was wondering. I was saying to myself, maybe she said to Jesus, she misses me and she wants to see me. But I don't think my mom would say that. I think she wants me to be happy here on earth before I go be with her and the Lord.
Well,
she's probably saying to Jesus, make him be happy. I know she's saying that to Jesus.
You know, I'm going to be candid about something. Years ago, I remember I didn't say goodbye to my mother. I mean, I was with her at the end, but I didn't designate private time for me. I did for everybody else, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh. And so a friend said, well, why don't you just tell Jesus what you would want to tell her, and then He can choose to do that if He wishes. And I thought, is that theologically sound? Well, of course you can tell the Lord Jesus anything and let Him be the one to decide. But the Bible actually says the dead know nothing. This is in Ecclesiastes. The dead know nothing. I think their hearts would be grieved, terribly grieved, if they saw what was going on in our world today. And heaven is a place where there are no tears. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and I understand that. But, you know, you're right. I think your mom would not be trying to get you to her right now. She would want you to be happy. And so, and I say happy, she would want you to be literally doing what God would want you to do. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the issue is trust. Trust. It's entrusting your life to the Lord. Because when you do that, it's like, oh, I'm not in charge of me. He is in charge of me. The Lord is in charge of me. And that is supposed to be the point. We are not to be our own God. We are to let God be our God. Mm-hmm. And that means we entrust our lives to Him. So, in the medical area, you've been told that you have basically PSA levels that are high, and you're being asked to get a biopsy, and that's a good thing to do. And so, by the way, God will never tell you to do something that would be against His will. He would never tell you to do something or lead you to do something that's not right in His sight. And so the Bible says, faithful is the one who calls you, and He will do it. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is the one who calls you. So if He calls you to get this biopsy through this other doctor, through the medical team, you know, if you're being called to do this for your sake, for your good, then He will equip you to do it. He'll be the part of the empowerment for you to do that. Does that make sense, my friend Mike?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I think the issue then, let's look at first things first. And this is to let you know, I'm going to send you, it's not a large book. It's my small book on caring for a loved one with cancer, just so that if you want to read it, there will be a lot of practical things in there that you'll see. I'm also going to send you chronic illness, because this is God's peace in the midst of pain. Now, let's look at first things first, because this is part of what is in this material, that we have definitions, characteristics, causes, and solutions. And in the solutions, we have how to handle the first signs and first steps. What are they? What do you do? Well, you've already taken, I think, the first step, get a thorough medical evaluation. And you ask questions, take notes, and just ensure that you understand what's being said. And by the way, you can request a copy of all results and evaluations from your, so that you'll have your medical records at home. And then if you feel uncertain, you can get a second opinion. Go to a second doctor. Sometimes, well, all doctors don't know everything. Sometimes it's helpful to get a second opinion if you feel that's valid for you. But you want to learn about the prognosis. The prognosis, there's something that's called a diagnosis, where you find out what it is that you have. The prognosis deals with the norms and averages. It's the progress that a disease might have, and what you want to do is at times slow down what that pace would be. But as you share the news, like with your brother-in-law, anyone closest to you, don't hide the diagnosis. Don't pretend there's no problem. Allow yourself to be vulnerable by just sharing the diagnosis, saying, well, I've been told I have this. And be willing to accept when, like you've said, your brother-in-law offering to go with you. I think the issue is when you evaluate what you're in the discovery process right now. You want to find out what it is that's going on in your body. And understand that Jesus says the truth sets you free, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you want to understand what is the truth about your body, and then in truth, that will empower you to make wise decisions. And I do believe that it's helpful to talk it over, like with a brother-in-law or someone else. What were you going to say?
If I may, you asked me what scares me about the biopsy. Another thing that scares me, because I have a problem with alcohol, they say alcohol thins your blood. And I'm worried maybe I'll have internal bleeding or something, you know. I mean, the doctor told me something to worry about, but...
Well, if he said don't worry about it, then he's saying that that won't have that impact. Now, you can make a decision. Now, Michael, let's be practical here. Life is a series of choices. So say that after me. Life is a series of choices.
Life is a series of choices.
Okay, say it again.
Life is a series of choices.
Right. One more time.
Life is a series of choices.
Okay. God has given you a mind, because I can hear it working. And there are some people who their minds don't work to make choices. And they are so limited. But you have an ability to make choices. Now, let's think about, I understand. You said you're scared, and you said, I've turned back to drinking. Okay, now, again, with life being a series of choices, I know that there are times when if I have a choice about something that I might want, but it's not good for me, I've got to make sure I'm making the choice that God wants me to make. That means, it sounds like at one time you had a problem with drinking and you were, to a degree, there was an improvement. Is that correct?
Yeah, for a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So you know how to make healthy choices. Now, what you can say, and I think this is important, in the power of Christ, with the power of Christ within me, I'm going to choose to not be drinking right now. And I want to have what God, I want to make the decisions God wants me to make. Because you see, you've already identified, I know I've been turning back to drinking, and that's going to cloud your mind, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to impair your thinking. And so, I have an idea. I want us to do something. Would you like for us to pray right now for you to just yield your total will to His will? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Just pray after me. God, I want to do what you want me to do.
God, I want to do what you want me to do.
Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me.
Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me.
I'm asking you to take control of my life.
I'm asking you to take control of my life.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Thank you that you will give me wisdom.
Thank you that you will give me wisdom.
And your strength to do what's right in your sight.
And your strength. To do what's right all the time.
Yeah. So, Lord, I will do what you want me to do in your strength.
I will do what you want me to do
in your strength. Yeah. In Jesus' name I pray.
What was that?
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
If you have questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 biblical counseling keys to address it. Call our care center at 800-488-HOPE. Again, that's 800-488-4673. Now, if you'd like to speak with June specifically about a problem going on in your life, please call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Follow the prompts and leave a message for us, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. At Hope for the Heart, we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying, you hang on to hope.